I pray that was a blessing to you and encouragement, and seeing what God has done there in Suriname and the vision he has given us for the future. Please pray for us as we're working on the radio license. As we said, back in 2010, we were on furlough, and I contacted a man there that was a former preacher boy from the Patton's ministry, my father-in-law's ministry then in Capital City, and he was in a government position where he could help get the license signed. He could actually be involved in signing the license. He said, "Oh, bring down your equipment, and when you get down here, come and see me, and we'll get that license signed." Well, that sounded too good to be true. Things don't move that way in Suriname. And sure enough, we got down there, and the government had moved him from that department to a different department. He no longer had the authority to help us with that license. He says, "Oh, the person who works there now, the lady who took over my job, you know, she's friendly and she'll help you out, no problem." Well, she is friendly, but she wanted to do everything the proper way, you know. And so 3.5 years later, our paperwork is in. I think it's all good. And the last couple months, we've made contact with the Minister of Communication. And yes, we have your papers. And yes, we still have your papers, and we're looking at them, and we'll call you. Don't call us. And so we've just been praying. And a couple weeks ago, of course, Dr. and Mrs. Pat and my father and mother-in-law were in Suriname the last 2 months, holding the fort for us. They just flew up on Friday. My daughter Abigail was with them. And they just flew up this Friday. Yesterday, we were over there in Knoxville picking up Abigail and seeing family, and then drove this direction last night. And so he made contact with some of his former preacher boys from his churches who are now in top levels of the government of Suriname. And lo and behold, they are no longer, is it the Minister of Communication that has to sign the license for the radio? It's a group of advisors. And so things just keep on switching around. Well, the head of the group of advisors is one of the former preacher boys from Dr. Patton's, one of his churches. And one of the other men that's in the group is also one of the former preacher boys. So I emailed the head, the chairman of that group, and he emailed right back and said, "We're working on it." So we still are asking for prayer. Please pray with us that God will work on hearts and will bring about that radio license. One of our other prayer requests is, as we mentioned, we're working on a new church building up there in the interior. The church building that was built 35 years ago or so is falling apart, is not really fixable. And so the national pastor has built the cement block, 3,000 cement blocks built there on site. And now there's one of our other national pastors is cutting the lumber. It's taking a long time for some reason, but anyways, he is cutting the lumber. It's supposed to be done anytime soon. And once that lumber is all stockpiled there at the church site, then we'll have to transport cement and building iron and tin roofing and all that kind of stuff from the capital city by truck to the border town past where I live into the big dugout canoes and up that river. A lot of logistics involved. If you don't have everything stockpiled, you know, if you forgot to buy the nails are a day's trip away. So you just can't say, "Oh, I'll run down to the store and get it." So pray for me that I'll get all those things organized. Of course, the finances to do all this. We are trying to raise money for that. And also some men up in Michigan and even over in Greensboro, North Carolina, are talking about coming and helping us with the job, with the construction. Not construction so much, but the finishing work. Electrical, plumbing, cabinet making, and all the inside type of work. So pray with us that God will just work things out and that will go well this next, hopefully this year, really get busy on that building. We have prayer cards in the back. We have a display. Some people have already stopped by. Please do pick up a prayer card so you can have a new one. And you'll see on the prayer card that we're missing some children. My two oldest sons have now graduated from Bible College. My oldest son graduated 2 years ago, got married. He is now on the road, well, not on the road yet, but he's calling pastors, churches, seeking support to go to Argentina as a missionary. My second son graduated this last May, got married, and was hired as assistant, as youth pastor at the church that he served at the last 4 years while he was in college. And so he's going to be there for 3 years working on his master's degree, and then we'll see what God has for him later. Of course, on our new prayer card, you'll see Abigail and Priscilla. Their pictures are sort of separate from the rest of the family because both of them are at Ambassador Baptist College. Abigail will now be a sophomore, and Priscilla will be starting as a freshman. So we have mixed feelings. Abigail just came up from Suriname. She would have liked to have stayed in Suriname, but she needs to finish her college. And, of course, Priscilla will be dropping her off, which is new to her, and it'll be new to us. We're going from having a sort of a mixed older teenagers and young children. Now we're going to having a younger group of children at home. Our house feels empty. We go from 9 to 5. It's feeling sort of empty. And our whole life will be different down there now with the difference in age groups in our own home. So pray for us, pray for them, pray for us. It's going to be somewhat of a change. If you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms. As I said, we're just a couple weeks shy of leaving for the mission field. We're looking forward to it. Most of our suitcases are packed. We get 14 suitcases, so we have, I think, 12 suitcases already packed, weighed, and ready to go. If you look at our van outside, it is plumb full. And so we'll be driving down to Miami in a couple weeks to do a little more shopping down there, bigger items that won't fit in a suitcase, so we can ship those items directly from Miami, and then we leave for the field. So we're looking forward to it. Let's pray, and we'll go forward. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for a nice day. Thank you, Lord, for Lord, giving us the ability to be here, giving us the desire to be here, the health to be here, the strength to be here. Lord, thank you for the songs that we sang. Lord, now we thank you for thy word, and we pray, Lord, that thy Holy Spirit would take away the blindness, the darkness that Satan attempts to blind us. And, Lord, open our hearts and teach us, Lord, I pray, through thy word. Praise things in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm chapter 127. I'd like to speak tonight on the subject of giving your children to the Lord's work. Psalm chapter 127. Giving your children to the Lord's work. Now, to begin with, I'd like to ask parents, because we're talking about children, but it starts with the parents. And so you as parents and even grandparents are a little bit involved in this because you have influence over your grandchildren. But I want the parents especially to ask yourself these questions. What is my purpose in having children? Or what am I raising my children to do with their lives? Am I raising my children for my own pleasure and happiness? Or am I raising them to bring honor and glory to the Lord? What is my ambition for their lives? And what will make me happy to see them accomplish with their lives? Are my children mine? Or are they given to me by God to raise and to train up in the Lord's admonition and then to give back to the Lord for his service? Now, basically, the thought is, what will make me as a parent, you know, think about yourself, what will make me as a parent happy to see my children do with their lives? When my children leave home and go out, what will make me feel successful? What will make me feel like, yes, I did a good job? 30 years ago, I graduated from Christian high school. 26 years ago from Bible college, 25 years on the mission field. And when I was in Christian school, it was the age of Christian schools. It was when churches across America were opening Christian schools. And on one of our furloughs when we came back to the States, we were, you know, it was amazing to see how many new Bible colleges were opening up all over America. It was the age of the Bible colleges. And of course, now it's the age of homeschooling. And you know, I look back and think, you know, all of these children that have been raised up in good churches, in good Christian schools, have gone to good Bible colleges, who have been trained in God's Word over the last 30 years. What has been the impact of all these trained young people graduating, going out into our country, to America? Some going around the world. What has been the impact? Is America better today than it was 30 years ago? 20 years ago? 10 years ago? And the answer is no. So many good Christian children graduate from school with the goal of making it good in the world and living a good life for themselves. Giving their all to serve the Lord is not really in their minds. But who is to blame for this? And I'm afraid that we as parents are mostly to blame. We have not trained up our children to seek the Lord's face and His service. We have not shown them by our lives that service the Lord is our ultimate calling. But we have shown them by our lives that success, living the good life in the world, is what is most important. You know, we have a saying, it's not what I say, it's what I do. And our children look at us as we bring them to church, as we teach them God's word, as we put them in good schools, as we put them in good, we send them to good Bible colleges, they're looking at what we live for, what our goals are, what our passion is. And we can say, we want you to serve the Lord. We want you, you know, my son, grow up and serve the Lord. My daughter, grow up and serve the Lord. But it's not what we say, it's what we do. They look at what our passion is, what our desires are, what our goals are. And it's the few who catch a different vision than what the parents' vision is. So what will make you feel successful when your child goes out, what they accomplish, what they do with their lives, what will make you feel successful? Psalm 127, verse 1. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. You say, what is it talking about here? It's talking about, you know, making the physical effort to, you know, to make it in life. It says, you know, building our house. It says, vain to rise up early, sit up late, eat the bread of sorrow. It's talking about work. You know, getting up early, going to that job, working hard. But he says it's vain. You know, read Ecclesiastics, and Solomon says, you know, I built big buildings, I built gardens, I did this and I did that. You know, I did all these things. But it's all vanity. It's all vanity. The things of the flesh are all vanity. Of course, you know that as a missionary, I feel that you know, the highest calling that God gives us is to be a missionary to some foreign place. But I know that not all of us are called to do that. You know, Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says that we are to be witnesses in our Jerusalem and in Judea and a little further out in Samaria and some of us to around the world. And so we're not all called to be full-time, you know, to be missionaries or full-time pastors or full-time Christian servants. That's not the calling for all of us. But God has something for each of us to be doing for Him. He has a job for each of us. And for most of us, it is serving Him in our Jerusalem, in our local area, in our local church. Some get sent a little further out. Some get sent around the world. But we are to be serving Him. And so I understand that, you know, for the majority of us Christians, our lives are not totally, as far as we're not involved in full-time Christian service. We work normal jobs. But that's not to be the focus of our lives. You know, Matthew chapter 6, where, you know, the chapter talks about, the Lord says, you know, I know your physical needs. We need clothing. We need food, you know. We need a place to stay. We need a vehicle. God knows our physical needs, but He says that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He says we're to seek Him first. We're to seek His will first. We are to seek His, to do His will. And then, it says, the next part of the verse says, and then He will take care of, He knows our needs. He knows we have physical needs. But He says to serve Him first. That's to be the focus, the desire of our hearts. Yes, we have physical needs, but that comes second. And so as we as parents work normal jobs, as we as parents, you know, we have to have physical things, but that's not to be the goal. It's not to be the our vision, our heart's passion. Our vision, our goal is to be to serve the Lord. So here it says, you know, it's vain. That it's not the real wealth. It's not our real success to make it in the world. My father used to talk about the American dream. In fact, I just heard it a couple days ago on the radio. Pursuing the American dream, people coming to America, these immigrants coming from, you know, Guatemala or whatever, coming across the border. What are they pursuing? They've heard of the American dream, the freedom to make it. And they're coming for that. And we as Christians get distracted by the American dream also. We want that good job. We want that good pay. We want to have that piece of land. We want to have that house. We want to have that retirement. And if that is our vision, if that is our goal, if that's what we're working for in this life, it's vain. You know, when you look at the rich people, whether it's the movie stars or the singers or the sports people or whatever, they have lots of money. And maybe you look at them and say, they're successful. Maybe our children look at them and say, oh, they're the successful people. I want to be like that, or I want to have that type of wealth. They can have anything they want. They can almost do anything they want. But they don't have peace or joy or real happiness. They are successful in the physical way, in the world standards, they are successful, but they have nothing. It is all vanity spiritually. We see here that our true wealth is our children. Verse 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Our true wealth is our children. Now it says that the idea of verse 5, that they shall not be ashamed. It's not talking about just having children. You know, I live in the jungles of Suriname, and the people I live with, the culture that I live in, they have lots of children. They also have many wives. So that allows them, enables them to have lots of children, okay? And so when I go to the capital city to go to do our shopping, twice a month, my brother and I drive to the capital city, do our shopping, the business friends that we have in the capital city, when they every once in a while see my family, you know, here I am with 9 children, you know, "You have 9 children?" "Yes." They say, "Oh, you have been besmit." If you know Dutch, the word besmit means the idea of being tarnished. They said, "You've lived amongst those people too long. That's why you have so many children. You become tarnished." You know, because you white people don't do that. You know, 1, 2, 3, or 4, and that's about it, you know. 9? "Oh, you have been tarnished. You've lived with those people too long." But that is not why we have 9 children, not because we live with them, okay? But because each child that we've had, we've said, "Lord, we want to have another child, and we want to raise that child to serve you." Not just to have children, but servants for you. Okay? So it says, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemy's gates." So listen, if we raise our children correctly and they go out and serve the Lord, then they are our wealth. They are our success story. This phrase there, "speak with the enemies in the gate," of course you understand back then the cities were surrounded by walls, and when the enemy attacked, which it seemed to be an annual thing, they fought back and forth, you know. When the enemy attacked, the weakest point was the gates. And to have your son, you have your, you know, the ones who were going to be defending there were going to be the, you know, the special forces, the really tough guys. And here to have your son in the gates defending the city, that's an honor. You think of Proverbs chapter 31, where the majority of that chapter is about the wife and the mother in the home. And twice in that chapter, toward the end of the chapter, it repeats that phrase, "in the gates." Once about the husband, once about the children. Say, hey, they're known in the gates where the leaders sit, where the important people are, where people pass through, to have your son or to have your husband known in the gates. That's an honor. So we see here that children raised to serve the Lord, they are our true wealth. If you remember the Christian film Courageous, and one of the main male characters, he's standing in front of the mirror, and he puts on his new suit, and he says, "Man, I feel like a rich man." And his wife says, "No, you're not a rich man because of the new suit. You're a rich man because of your children and your wife, who you are showing how to trust in the Lord. There's your true riches." And so children are a gift from God, but they are not ours to keep. Now, God gives us children, but they're not ours to keep. They're not for our purposes. They're for God's purposes. Think of 1 Samuel chapter 1. You remember the story of Hannah. Hannah was in the tabernacle praying. And it says that she was in anguish. You know, she was praying very hard. It was a shame not to have children in the Jewish culture. In the culture that I live in, it's a shame not to have children. Many cultures around the world, shame not to have children. So she was praying in anguish for a son. And, of course, God gave her a son, but she promised, "Lord, give me a son, and I will give him back." Of course, the end of chapter 1, she takes her son. We don't know how many years old he was exactly, but not very old. God gave her a son, but she had to give him back. And she took her son to Eli and said, "I prayed for him. Here he is." Was she sad? There's probably some sadness there. She had to give them up. So children are a gift from God, but they're not ours to keep. We are to give our children back to God to be used for his service. You know, when our child is born, we don't know what they're going to do when they grow up. We don't know where they're going to go when they grow up. But we are to give them back to God to do his service wherever and whatever that might be. We are to be training them diligently the word of God. If you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." Of course, that is quoted by the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 22. When he was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" The first commandment is, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." That is speaking to us as parents, as adults. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our might, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Talking to us. And then, verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You know, think about that. Basically, the idea is morning, noon, night, inside the house, outside the house. We are to be teaching our children, teaching them by the word, teaching them by example, showing them God's word. We are to be living as parents for the Lord. Our passion, our vision is to be to serve the Lord. And if we are living that and showing that to our children and teaching that to our children, they'll catch the vision too. You know, in Genesis chapter 18, God says of Abraham, he says, "I know Abraham will teach his children and his household to obey God's word." The book of Proverbs, of course, is full of the saying, "My son." And I'm sure it applies to daughters also. But it says, "My son, heed. My son, listen. My son, do." What? Heed what? Listen to what? God's word. The true wisdom, true knowledge, true instruction is not the wisdom of the world. It's God's wisdom. It's God's word. We are to be teaching our children, diligently teaching our children, God's word. And of course, there's the expectation that they will listen to God's word and they will grow in God's word. And then we are to send them forth to serve the Lord. That is God's expectation. And think of the mother of Moses. You know, when Moses was born, the Bible says that his parents looked at him and said, "Oh, this is a special child. You know, they look at him and say, oh, you know, you hear mothers, you know, when they first see a baby, oh, what a beautiful baby. I have never seen one of those. I've been involved in 9 births. I've been the first or second person to hold that baby, you know, when they're first born. And when you look at that baby, they're not beautiful. They're all red and splotchy, and they don't look real good at all. So, you know, when Moses' parents looked at him and said, they didn't say, oh, what a beautiful baby. You know, God put it in their hearts that this baby had a special, was going to do a special job. And when Moses' mother took him out there and put him in that basket and put him out there in the water, she expected to get him back, but not to keep. She had to give him up for the Lord's service. You think of the mother of John the Baptist. You know, when she heard that she was going to have she was going to be pregnant and she was going to have a son, and that son was going to do a special job for God, but there was going to be pain. She had to give her son up to God's work. You think of Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. When the angel said, you're going to have the Christ child, but it's not yours. He's coming for a special purpose. You're going to have to give him up, and there will be sorrow in your heart for what he does, you know, what God uses him to do. Think of the mothers and fathers of missionaries down through the years. You know, the early missionaries, they didn't fly to the foreign field. You know, the early missionaries from England or from America going to China or India or, you know, Burma or Africa, when they went across the seas to those countries, they went by sailing ship. You know, my grandfather, my mother went to the mission field on a sailing ship. And when mom and dad said goodbye to their son or daughter going to the foreign field, to the mission field, many missionaries died on the ship going over. Many missionaries died when they first got over there. You know, they were known as graveyards because of the diseases. It was the few missionaries who came back. It was the few missionaries who mom and dad said goodbye to that they ever saw their child again. But you know that my grandparents, my mother's side, they're all buried in Africa. My uncles and aunts are buried in Africa. My mother is the only sibling left of her family who's still alive, and she expects to be buried there in Suriname. And my cousins are still in Africa. Actually, all of them right now are out in Utah because they're having a couple weddings out there. So they've all flown back to the States for weddings. But they're still serving the Lord out there in Africa. My father speaks of his mother. He says, oh, my mother, when we were born, or when they were very young, she said, Lord, use my sons. Take my sons to the mission field. She had two children, two sons. And with tears of joy in her eyes, when she watched my father leave for Africa, waving goodbye, saying, God, there goes one. And tears of joy a couple years later, when her second son went to Brazil as a missionary, God, there goes the second one. Thank you. Is that our attitude? Are our children ours? Or are our children given to us to raise up, to train up, and to send forth to serve the Lord? What vision do we want to give them? How are we training? You know, a couple years ago, the European countries were complaining that America was putting America's nose in the business of Europe. Said, what right does America have to put their nose in our business? Tell us what to do. And somebody, I didn't even ask about this, somebody just sent me some, it was in the news, I guess, and so they sent me this email with some pictures. And the pictures were of graveyards over in Europe, all these white crosses, of American soldiers, World War I, World War II, buried in Europe. Said, oh, we have a right to say something. We died for your freedom. The early missionaries were buried on the foreign field. Our early soldiers were buried on the foreign field. Today, most missionaries retire and come back to America to get buried. And when our soldiers are down the foreign field, they're flown back to America to be buried. There's a difference in our attitude, in our commitment, both in the physical realm and the spiritual realm, to serving the Lord or serving our country. Parents, what is our ambition? What will make you feel that you've done a good job with your children? when they go out? Is it that, yes, they got a good job, they're making good money, they've got these things, they're going to have a good life? Is that what we're looking for? It's not wrong to have that, but is that our vision? Is that our goal? Or do we want them to go out and serve the Lord? It may be working a good job and so forth, but do we want their passion and vision to not be the things of the world, but to be serving the Lord as much as God gives them that ability in that direction with their lives? Do we want our children to be a spiritual impact on our country, in our world? We, as parents, need to give ourselves to the Lord's work and show our children and our grandchildren how to do that too. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for thy word. Lord, help us, teach us, help us to grow in thee, help us to serve thee. Help our passion, Lord, to be serving thee, accomplishing thy will. Praise things in Jesus' name.
Close your eyes, and they get prepared. They can begin to play through softly. Maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart about your children, maybe about your grandchildren. This is a great message we've heard, a good emphasis here. What do we want for our children? Is our desire really what God wants us to desire for them? Invitation is open. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't even know Jesus as your Savior. Come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Maybe tonight you want to come and just say, Lord, I lay my children on the altar, my grandchildren on the altar. We want what you want for them. We'll ask Brother Gary to begin to sing. And if God is speaking to your heart, would you come? Would you come, please?
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and
let's still. Sing one more verse for the year. If nobody else comes, this will be it.
Have thine own way.
Love you tonight. Thank you for the privilege of being able to come under the sound of your word again. Pray that you'll speak to us in a clear voice. Thank you for Brother Champlin, his precious wife and children. Keep your hand upon their ministry. Use them to do a mighty work for you as you already have. I pray you increase it. That you do your will among them, I pray. Bless now, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Champlin, your wife and children, if you'll make your way out to your table. I know our folks will want to greet you. And remind those who are going to the day camp tomorrow, all parents and kids and all those working in it. Brother Bob needs to meet with you real quickly down here to my left. And let me go ahead and dismiss.